Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. We have a time to celebrate our nursery workers and those that invest themselves after the service tonight. And so I hope you'll be back in your place. We want to recognize each of our workers and thank them for giving of their time and energy. And every church has to make its own decision on the matter of having a nursery. And I have been in services and churches where they do not have a nursery. I've been in ministries across the globe, and you have a wide variety of children in the services and dealing with all manner of things in different places around the globe. But I'm thankful as a pastor that we have a nursery, and I'm very thankful for the nursery workers that give of their time and energy to serve each and every week. It is not an easy endeavor, and I know many of them would like to trade places with me on a given Sunday, and they'd like to share a few things with you about their pastor going too long. And they'd love the opportunity for me to switch places with them and to have that feel. Pastor, when your message goes over this amount of time, the kids have a certain understanding and they're ready to be dismissed. And then you go on and on and on, and they are ready to depart. And so my heart is there for nursery workers. I appreciate those that give of their time and energy that they would serve in this area. Now, we have a number of different ministries, of course, that cover the spectrum here in ministry, but this is one of the most difficult, no doubt, to be able to endure and also to enjoy. And I want to read you just a verse from Psalm 127 this morning, and then I'm going to come to Matthew 19 where you are. The Bible says in Psalm 127 in verse number 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Verse number 5, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." So children are a blessing from the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that every moment with children is a blessing from the Lord, because there are times of turmoil, times of struggle, times of training, times of investment. But the Bible says that God has blessed us with the opportunity to influence the coming generation. In a church setting like this, I want us to all recognize that everyone can have an investment on the life of a youngster that's coming up. And we ought to all desire the opportunity or enjoy the opportunity to invest in the life of that youngster. I've already referenced Miss Helen. There may be some others that I've forgotten about. I know others that had me as a youngster in Sunday school classes and different settings and so forth, and in Bible clubs and Thursday night visitation times. But appreciate those that ministered so that my folks could invest themselves in the ministry, and they were able to drop me off as a toddler and be involved there in the nursery until the time came that they got finished up with their responsibilities and they could come back and pick me up. And most of the time I was there safe and sound, right? If the teachers didn't get fed up with watching me and things like that, and then use that Velcro to the wall mentality. But we survived, and I'm telling you what, my folks had a trust, had a blessing, that there were individuals that would give of their time and energy to be able to watch over us in the nursery. The Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord, and we find that rehearsed here in this passage in Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 13. Matthew 19, verse number 13. "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuke them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." Let me read to you two corresponding passages here from Mark and Luke. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, in verse number 13, "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them." The two passages that correspond to this one here in Matthew chapter 9 make the indication that people were continually bringing their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a steady flow of parents and children. And I'm reminded of the song, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." There's something so precious and significant about the life of that youngster. Such enthusiasm, such energy, and such a desire for life. Given the opportunity to work in different settings and so forth growing up, and being given the opportunity to join a bus route and to be involved in a bus route for a time, and then to move into college and to become a bus captain and so forth of bus routes, and to go and knock on that door on a Saturday morning and to find that little boy or girl at home and to ask them, "Are you coming tomorrow?" And they say, "Yes, yes, we'll be there, we'll be there." And then you go back on Sunday morning and the 8 o'clock hour, and it's early, and it's normally their day, I'm sure, of staying in bed and enjoying a day off, but they'd be up and dressed, and the little boys and girls would be in the best of their clothes and whatever that they had, and they'd come often running out of their apartment building or their townhouse or their home, and they'd come with great joy and jump on the bus. They'd see their friends, and we'd sing as we're coming into the ministry and sing often going home. We'd play different games on the bus routes and just had a wonderful time interacting with kids. And we moved on then, and my wife and I had the opportunity to serve in a setting in a church where we had the children's church every Sunday. And so my wife and I think we had about second or third grade up through sixth grade. And being given the opportunity to serve in that ministry for a number of years, we came in, and some of those kids, 10 years old, 11 years old, and they came into the teen department with us, and some of them were much younger, and it's interesting to work with those kids. And they kind of get in a routine with you, and they know that you're going to have the pledges, and you're going to have the time in which they go to the restroom, you're going to have the time of singing, you're going to have time of offering, you're going to have the Bible story, and you have that routine that you go through every single Sunday, and man, it is a tremendous amount of fun. Love teaching the kids the Bible, love walking through Bible stories with them, but let's take it down even a bit further, and let's talk about the arduous nature of the nursery and the nature of bringing kids to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the nursery setting, normally these kids are coming to us and mom and dad bring that youngster in, or granddad and grandmom bring that youngster in. And the nursery worker has to be mindful of a sacrifice that's going to be made. Wives sacrifice their opportunity to sit in service with their husbands. They sacrifice maybe being in Sunday school and hearing the Word of God for that Sunday, and they give of their time and energy that others might be blessed, that others might hear the Word of God. Now, certainly, everyone could, in a setting like this, bring their children into the service, and to the best of our abilities, we could do our utmost to try to keep them quiet. And why is it that when we try to keep a youngster quiet, it's the time frame in which they want to be all the louder? Now, let's be real quiet. And we've tried giving them something to drink. We've tried to put the pacifier in. We've tried to give them the silent toy, something that they can be fascinated with. But for some reason, it just does not go the way we would desire. Now again, we notice it when there's one in a setting like this, but can you imagine that as our nursery ebbs and flows and we're at 10 babies in the nursery or 15 or 20 babies in the nursery. Can you imagine that kind of a setting in a situation like this? And it makes me thankful that we have people that will invest themselves in the lives of those children, that we might hear the Word of God and that we might be able to give out the Word of God. Another thing that I've always found fascinating, it seems as though the youngster always makes the loudest push when you're getting to that peak of the message. I don't know why that is, but they always seem to reach that flow of energy and that flow of excitement and or responsiveness right at the time that I'm going to share the gospel or walking through the gospel or reaching that point of invitation. And we say, oh my goodness, Pastor, why in the world don't they take that child out? Well, it's tough. And everybody's trying not to turn and look back. It's like a cell phone going off now. The cell phone goes off and everyone looks around and says, man, I can't believe someone didn't turn their cell phone off. And then it rings again and it rings again until finally you realize that it's your cell phone going off. And it's a new cell phone. And so you don't recognize the ring. And in truth, everyone's looking at you saying, why don't they turn that off? It's the same thing that happens with children. But I want us to realize several things about this in the ministry from even the nursery and then flowing forth in the care of our kids. It is ever so significant on several levels. As we care for our kids, of course, we provide security for them. We want to do our very best in watching over them and taking care of them in the absence of mom and dad. But let's think in terms of the parents being able to hear the Word of God. It's very important for us to be able to care for those children, to give that time for mom and dad to be able to hear what God says in His Word. Because the impact that the Word of God has on mom and dad will impact what the Word of God does in the hearts of those kids. So mom and dad are able to take the children into a safe environment. They're able to drop them off to caring individuals, and they're able to walk then down to the auditorium and to be able to sit in the service. Nursery workers, I appreciate your sacrifice that so many might hear the truth of the Word of God as it relates to salvation. On a weekly basis, we want to inform people of their need of the Savior. The Bible says that all of us are born in sin. The Bible says that all of us deserve a punishment for all eternity. We deserve to pay the price for our own sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It would be eternal separation from Almighty God, but the Bible says that the Father sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so the truth for everyone this morning is that Jesus died for you. He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to take your place of punishment. And it is that message of salvation that people are able to receive with clarity, I trust, and with quietness. And they're able to digest their own standing before Almighty God. And again, when we put this in perspective and understand that Satan will do all that he can to deter them from coming to know the Lord, we understand the significance of that one that will give of themselves to watch over the youngsters. The devil does not want a saved father. The devil does not want a saved mother. The devil does not want a spiritual family. The devil would desire to do everything he can to hinder the seed being planted in the life. And no doubt, as I've said, it seems like it's always at a particular time in the message that the youngster, having been quiet and been content, would all of a sudden now desire something else and would make that known to mom. We not only desire for parents to hear the clear presentation of the gospel, but I desire for parents to be strengthened in their walk with the Lord, because their walk does impact their children. What I learn here on a weekly basis impacts the way that I direct our sons as a father. What my wife takes in spiritually on a weekly basis impacts her life and influence on the boys as their mother. And so it is of utmost importance that we are being fed spiritually, that we might go home and in turn invest in our children in spiritual things. And in this passage, as it is there in Mark and Luke, people are continually bringing their children to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that was what they believed to be the priority. And I want to say more on that this morning as we think on this matter of the care of our youngsters. If you had someone that you really wanted your children to meet, what would you do in order to make that possible or to make that happen? Say, I'd really like for my youngster to meet this particular personality. I'd really like for my child to meet this one or that one. I can remember in days gone by where we would be excited to introduce our sons to someone that we may have known for many years. We'll get updates from people that we know, and they've given birth, and they want us to meet by social media now. They want us to see their newborn. They're so excited about it, and they want us to meet someone. But the one that these parents were taking their children to is the one that we ought to all desire for our children to meet. Take any personality that may be out there, whatever kind of prestige or power may be there in their life, no one could compare to our necessity, or to the necessity of getting our children to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that my folks made it a priority in our home for us to come to Christ. I'm thankful that they invested in that way. You know, I never got up on a Sunday morning and went in and asked my dad if we were going. It was a foregone conclusion in the Abbey household. We were going to be investing ourselves in the local church, and we were going to be there. And I can always remember the signs that Dad and Mom were getting close to being ready, and he'd come out of the room and he'd say, okay, let's load up the car, and he'd have a word of prayer before we departed out of the garage, and we'd drive that 1 mile to church, living right around the corner there from the facilities there on Braddock. And it was just the priority in the home. We're going to get our children to church. We want to have them under the sound of the gospel. We want to have them under the sound of the ministry. And I can say on behalf of the people that invested in my life, they gave of their time and energy, and as a result of the energies of my parents and our Sunday school teachers and our nursery workers and our children's church workers, all three of us trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We all came to know the Lord here in our church. My folks made it a priority to get us to church. You know, as we receive them into church, if you would think for a moment about the nature of receiving children into church, we can do it in just a couple of ways. There may be a youngster that comes that's a particularly difficult youngster to host in your class or setting or nursery. And when they're brought in, you could respond and be like, oh boy, so glad you're back today. I will acknowledge that in driving vehicles and being a part of bus routes and van routes and everything like this, that there were times that kids got on the van and or bus and I was not excited to see them. Several particular boys that came through the years, and I marked them and I'm like, this kid's up to no good. Can he be sick today? But in truth, that's the youngster that needs Christ the most. That's the one that needs to hear the message of the saving grace of the Lord the most. Say, Pastor, we have several of these kids that come in to the nursery, and I'm just not sure about hosting them and their care and everything like this. And Pastor, they're just tougher to handle. They're just not satisfied with any toys that we have. They're not satisfied when I put them down. They're not satisfied when I pick them up. I just want to pray each and every Sunday when I work in the nursery that they just won't come. And to those, I say thank you for your service. Thank you for giving of your time and energy, because in actuality, what they need most is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we take for granted, but this book is actually what has the power to change a family. What has the power to change the way that a dad will direct his home? What has the power to change how a mom will direct in her children's lives? And so this is what they desperately need. So it is worth it. But I know it is a sacrifice. We recognize here in this verse that people made it a priority to get their children to Jesus Christ. For all of the things in this world that are asking for our children, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one of all of those things that can actually make the life of your child better for all eternity. It is worth the effort. It is worth the energy. It is worth the investment. It may be that you have a niece or a nephew and they live here in the area, and you have a brother or sister that does not attend church, and they don't want anything to do with church, but you're able to call them and to say, hey, would you mind if I took our niece to church with us today? Do you know, my friend, that that's one of the best things you can do? Grandparents, you might have children that have made other choices in their walk with the Lord, and maybe even said, you know, I'm not going to church any longer, but you'd have opportunity to pick up that grandson or granddaughter and to invest that they might be here under the sound of the gospel. Do you know it's well worth it? Parents, can I just encourage you this morning to make it the priority? Mark it down in your household. Hey, when the time comes around, unless we have illness or we're providentially hindered, we're going to make that the place of priority. For all the single adults and so forth, as they are in that path of making the choice of who they would wind up marrying, please let me encourage each and every one of you, find someone that makes local church investment their priority. Don't go into the relationship thinking that you'll pull them in, because maybe for a time they start coming, maybe for a time they put on airs and they're satisfied with their presence and they'll sit and endure, but after the I do's, you rarely see them again. Here in the passage, the Bible says that these parents made it a priority. They wanted their children to come. Can I also encourage you in this standpoint, for those that may not have their own children directly, do you know that it may be that there's a lot of kids that come to us that do not have Bible-believing, Bible-loving parents at home? And so you and I might be providing them with the only security that they have in life. I wish that I could say that every youngster that comes to our academy or that's involved in our church setting here, I wish that I could say every single one of them had a loving environment to go home to. And so when they left home and came here to the church, it was very much the same thing. But we recognize that kids are coming from all kinds of backgrounds. I'm not in the habit of making a political case from the pulpit and so forth. But I tell you what, I would love the opportunity to make a case concerning this young man that went and did this wicked deed there in the school in Florida. There's a number of things that broke down before that day occurred. And when you consider that in America today, 5 to 6 out of every 10 marriages end in divorce. 50 to 60% of our kids are being brought up in broken homes. People today want to make up all other kinds of plans for how their pattern is going to be, and they want to make it righteous in their own eyes. But the Bible still says one man for one woman for one lifetime is the best way to go. But the kids are coming to us from all manner of backgrounds and all manner of issues, and they come into this setting, and I know for a fact that there are kids that will run to the Sunday school teacher because that Sunday school teacher is the only stability in their life. They'll run to that nursery worker. They'll run to that Awana worker. They'll run to that teacher and they'll say, listen, when everything else in my life is chaos, I know my Sunday school teacher will be there at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. And they come with such energy and such excitement because they want to hear the stories of Jesus Christ. Parents made it a priority. If we do not have our own children directly, but we have an opportunity to influence children, please take these times and invest. Sometimes we might wonder why kids don't enjoy spiritual things. Well, there's one thing that you would need to do in order to understand, kind of through the eyes of kids, why they might not enjoy spiritual things. And here it is. Watch the adults and their response to spiritual things when the time comes to hear and sing of the good news of Jesus Christ. Now think with me for a moment. A youngster comes out of our children's classes, and they come out of the time of singing, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. They come out of singing, hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. They come out of, I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus washed all of my sins away. We come out of that time, and they come into the auditorium, and it's a funeral death march. And we wonder why the kids are no longer excited. We give the kids points for bringing their Bibles to children's church and VBS. We give the kids points for having them in Sunday school. We say, hey, this kid's got perfect attendance, has had their Bible here every single week. Oh, we're so excited. The kids come into the auditorium. And what is their expectation? Their expectation, well, this must be the way it is for the adults. They've known Jesus even longer than me. And they're looking down the row and they're like, Mom, why is that guy sleeping? Why doesn't anybody on the row have their Bible? Did Pastor not give away points today? Within the confines of Scripture, I'm willing to do whatever we have to do. If you need a bathroom break, if you want to stand and sing Father Abraham in here, I'm more than happy to have Brother Jeff lead the song. That'd be fantastic. If you've never sung Father Abraham. Why is it that kids aren't energized about it? So often they're looking at us and they're saying, I guess you just get satisfied. And let me use another word, complacent. But here in our passage, the parents had a great priority, and that priority was to get people, these youngsters, to Jesus. But would you notice in the verse number 13, as they're seeking to get their children to Jesus, the Bible says, and the disciples rebuke them. What? Can you imagine on a Sunday morning, I place Brother Gary and Brother Jay Bradford down at the doors, and parents are coming in, they've got two or three kids, and we come in, and as they're coming in, I instruct Brother Boyd and Brother Bradford, I instruct them, and I'm saying, now listen, we've got five kids, that's all we're going to take. So just start telling people, no, they can't come. You say, well, Pastor, we'd never do that. I understand. But let's put ourselves into this story where the disciples are rebuking parents for bringing their kids to Christ. Imagine Peter standing there and saying, folks, please, don't bring your kids to the Lord. This is too much. Imagine Thomas. Imagine Matthew. Guys, listen, please, this is too much. You know what? It can sometimes get rambunctious. This past Thursday morning, I did a good thing and I did a bad thing. In chapel with the elementary kids, we acted out the story of Gideon. And so Gideon had 300 men. Well, I didn't have the entire numbers of the host or Israel, and so we shrunk the numbers. But I made a huge mistake. It was going so beautifully. And it was such a wonderful illustration. I mean, this was just working wonderfully well. And I had a number of the sixth grade girls up here on the platform, and I asked all of the rest of the first through sixth graders to kind of sit right here in this section right here. And man, it was awesome. It was really cool for the sixth grade girls that were standing up here to be looking down on the volume of kids that were right here. And I mean, the illustration was working beautifully. Miss Anita was working my pyrotechnics in the back. I'm just kidding, it wasn't that much. But she was working the lights for me, and so she put the lights down, and I said, oh man, this is great. The Midianites are going to sense what it was like when the lights came up from those 300 men, and they broke their pitchers, and they cried out, and I mean, the illustration was working beautifully. And the kids had great energy in it, until I said that the Midianites were so scared that they started to take each other's lives. I wished I would have left that part of the story out. Because what happened then? Well, myself and the girls that were on the platform, the sixth grade girls, we were fine. As I'm sure the 300 were with Gideon. But now everybody, all the Midianites down below us had to act it out. And so I got boys and girls that are just going at it and everything like this. I'm like, what? Well, I mean, that was opening, you know, the can of worms. I couldn't put it back in. But I was such energy and such excitement. Can you imagine that we would refuse the kids from hearing the truth of Jesus Christ? Now, I know you'll face opposition. I'm sure that if you have unsaved relatives and you tell them that you're coming to church week after week, I'm sure that you'll face opposition in different ways. But surely you'll not face opposition from Christian circles. But even the disciples were saying, listen, and I don't know their exact words, it's not recorded for us, but perhaps they said, there's too many already. Do you know when you get a lot of youngsters, toddlers, around your ankles and knees and everything like this, and they're all trying to maybe grab on or whatever, maybe it's too many. And so maybe the disciples were saying, hey, it's too many. Maybe the disciples were saying, no, we're too busy. He's too busy. But in spite of all the opposition, the parents had made this their priority, and they said, we want to get our kids to God. Now, folks, again, our desire today is to encourage and challenge each one of our folks that serve with their children. But beyond that, it's to challenge and encourage each parent. Don't let anything stand in your way from dedicating your kids to God. There are all kinds of forces that will work against us in this. All manner of things that will try to deter our children from not only salvation, but also from service to Almighty God. There are things that will come down the pike, that will come in the way, all these kinds of things that will potentially deter them and distract them, but we as parents can have as our desire and as our goal, the desire to get our kids to Christ. Now, I believe that the Word of God is as important for every father as it is for every child. But you know, in many cases, we find fathers that want to send their family to church while they stay at home. They want to send the rest of their kids. They want to send their wife. And in many circles around the globe, we will find that the mother is the spiritual director of the home. But it ought not to be that way. We as fathers should take the leadership. A 19th century Scottish preacher asked 253 Christian friends at what ages they were converted. And here's what he discovered. Of those 253, under 138 of them trusted Christ under the age of 20. 85 of them trusted Christ between 20 and 30. 22 of them trusted Christ between 30 and 40. 4 of them trusted Christ between 40 and 50. 3 of them trusted Christ between 50 and 60. 1 of them trusted Christ between 60 and 70, and not one of them had been saved after the age of 70. Now, I know this is just a quick tick mark of a statistic, but the best thing we can do is to give of our time and energy that these kids might be brought up under the sound of the gospel, under the leadership of God's Word, that they might know Christ. And so on this day, as we have that opportunity to thank both our nursery director and all the ladies that assist her, and then all of the individuals that work one or more times a month, please do not take that for granted. Some have given literally decades of service in the nursery. And my friend, it'll be one of those areas specifically that when we arrive home in heaven, it will be worth it all. To know where these youngsters were in their service for the Lord, it'll be worth it all. And again, if I can just close with this emphasis, the vast majority of people that come to Christ do so while they're still in their young years. Let's make it a priority to get them to Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity today to reflect on how special children are. And I'm thankful that they're given to us as a gift, that they're an heritage of the Lord. And I'm so thankful that today we can recognize our nursery workers and those that give of their time and energy. And we thank you for Jen Perenzino and the leadership there and others that have come alongside of her to be able to assist. We pray your hand of blessing upon them for their service. Thank you for the many that have sacrificed through the years. They've sacrificed services. They've given of their Sunday school hour. They've given of their Sunday nights that they might watch over a precious, precious youngster while parents hear the truth of God's Word. And I pray, Father, that you would guide and direct us in caring for these young people, caring for their families. We pray, Father, that you would entrust to us more. And I pray that we'd be equipped with workers and helpers. I pray that we'd be equipped with the necessary facilities for all that you would bring in. Lord, I pray right now for every parent, every grandparent, every aunt and uncle. It'd be easy in a message like this to sit back and to say, okay, I don't have my own kids, so the message does not apply to me. But in fact, we have the opportunity to invest. And from whatever is placed within our hands, we have the opportunity to invest in the priority of our youngsters knowing God. The most precious things in this world that you have given to my wife and I are our two sons. You can take everything else away, but they're the most valuable gifts that we've been given. And I pray that we would be faithful in taking them to the place to hear of God. And then my heart's prayer is for them in that time when they will accept the responsibility from that day forward of their own choices and their own decisions. I pray that the two that you've entrusted to us would make wise choices. If you should bless their home with children, I pray that you would help them to invest in their children wisely. It'd be a shame for a generation to grow up from the midst of this church and Christian school, a generation that would grow up and not know the Lord. I pray that you'd stir all of us in this matter and help us to make it the priority. Oh, there's a lot of other stuff that can fill in the gaps and that can clog up and clutter up the calendar. But I pray that we would be committed most of all to you and to our children being in a spiritual setting. Lord, if there's a heart of opposition in any one of us, I pray that you deal with that this morning. Yes, it adds additional headaches and difficulties for an expanding nursery, for expanding classes. It adds additional strain because we do need more workers. But Father, I pray that you would provide us with the resources to care for these young people. And I pray that there would be a welcomed response in bringing people to Jesus Christ.